That's the recognizable voice of the Icelandic pop star Björk. For a lot of people around the world, Björk is Iceland. But the country has a new celebrity these days, the mayor of Reykjavik. His name is John Gnarr. He's a professional comedian. He ran for mayor as a lark and, to his surprise, won. He just completed a 4-year term and published a memoir, and Charles Monroe Kane talked with him about his unorthodox style as mayor and the absurd campaign that got him elected.
I don't know what the phrase equivalent in Iceland is for smart-assed, but it was such a smart-ass campaign. I couldn't believe some of the stuff you tried to do. I was reading some of the stuff you talked about. I mean, one of my favorites was you wanted to make a replica of the Statue of Liberty in the form of Björk holding a microphone instead of a torch. You promised everyone a free towel and that there would be a polar bear in the zoo. You even promised to break every one of your promises. There's no way you expected to win, did you?
Well, no, not at the beginning. I just saw it as fun, but then realized that that's exactly what people were so thirsty for.
Right.
So, in a way, my joke was on me, really. And I just tried to be as absurd as possible in the campaign and, you know, come up with the most ridiculous promises and slogans.
What do you think is the most ridiculous one you came up with, the one you're most proud of?
I guess the Björk statue was the most surrealistic idea promise.
It's too bad it didn't happen.
Yeah, because I think it would make a great statue. I mean, with artificial intelligence, so it could, like, look down at people and talk directly to people and, like, with laser beams from her eyes and, like, quote Björk songs and also information about Iceland and Reykjavik.
I noticed online when I searched for you, not only does Björk come up, but she talks about you. It's a small country. What did she think of your campaign? Did she do anything for? I know you made a rock video. She wasn't in it. Well, mm-hmm. How did she feel about it? And would she have stood for hours to get sculpted around? You know, to make a statue?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so, right?
No, but she's been very. She's been happy with the best party. I mean, it is the best possible party. So.
And the best party, of course, is the political party that you created around you. The best party. What was your slogan? You had a great slogan.
Oh, it's just simply the best. That was
it's a great slogan. We're the best. We're not going to keep any of our campaign promises, and we're the best.
Anything else is rubbish. Vote for the best.
Now, there must have been a moment in your life. I want you to take us back to May 28th, 2010. This is the eve of your election. You're the 21st mayor of Reykjavik, by far the most powerful, most important city in your country. Mm-hmm. You must have been like, holy crap. Now what am I going to do? Because you can't just keep a joke going that long. It can't be absurd. You've got to run a city. You've got to help people out. There's problems. Iceland had major economic collapse. What was going through your head?
Well, it's probably similar to when I had my first kid. A time of great fun, but suddenly there's a kid, there's a child, and you have to take care of it, and it brings with it a lot of responsibility. And I, of course, asked myself, what have I gotten myself into now? And I couldn't get it all in at once. It took me a while to realize what the nature of my job was. But I decided to tackle it like any other job that I've done in my life.
The more conservative people in your country, and certainly the people who lost power because of you and as a very powerful position you had, they must have been waiting for you to see what you're going to do. And you did one of the most absurd things I've ever heard of in my life in politics. Immediately after getting elected, you made an announcement that you would not enter a coalition government with anyone who had not watched the entire HBO series The Wire. Are you serious?
No.
You must have blown their minds, man.
I'm so proud of that. I just liked the idea, you know, how they would react to this. I mean, would they actually go and buy the series and watch it? No, it was just I was just teasing them, you know, to see what they would do.
So meanwhile, you're messing with them, right? You're doing some absurd stuff.
Uh-huh.
First thing you decide to tackle as mayor is the budget. You came in, you raised taxes, you restructured with your own idea the education system of the entire city.
Mm-hmm.
You laid off the electricity utility workers that you thought were redundant.
Uh-huh.
And then you did another thing after doing all that. You balanced the budget for the first time in Reykjavik's history. You balanced the budget and then ended up having extra money
mm-hmm.
to do other projects. Man, you are an absurdist comedian and a punk rocker,
mm-hmm.
and you balanced the budget in the first year in office. How the hell did you do that?
Somehow it relies and depends on humbleness and serenity, I suppose. In my experience, it brings out the best in people who are working with you. And once people realize that you respect them and trust them, and in my experience, it's the same element of creating a good band compared to a bad band. It has a lot to do with the chemistry between people to spot what different people have to offer to the table.
You were serious and you did balance the budget, but at your budget meetings, you would show up wearing a Jedi outfit
yeah.
to fight the guys who were against your side of the budget. You gave speeches in lipstick. You came to work in drag. If you thought a meeting was boring, you would put on a gorilla mask and just leave.
Yeah. When I feel like, you know, dressing up in drag, I do. I dress up in drag because that's how I feel, what I want to do. And with a lipstick, it was when I had been in office for 6 months, my mother died. And it was in the middle of the budget making, and I didn't even have time to go through it to mourn my mother or anything. And the one thing I really loved about my mom was her ashtray and her smoking and her lipstick. And that's how I remember her putting on lipstick and smoking. So I just wanted, you know, from the estate, I just wanted the ashtray and her lipstick. And so I took up smoking and I put on her lipstick, you know, as a respect to the memory of my mother. And with the costumes, it's also about, you know, surprise. And the best party is a surprise party. It's like when you come home and all your friends are there and there's all call, yeah, surprise, surprise. But it's just for that moment, you know. They cannot leave the room again and come back and say, surprise, it's not a surprise anymore. It's just a moment. And people really appreciate surprises. And you know, when they're hopeless and gloomy, it's always nice to have a surprise. And what's more surprise than the mayor with a gorilla mask?
You're right. I can't think of anything more. Right. Good point.
So it made people smile, and when people smile, they get maybe some of the hope they had lost. And so it's just fun, and why not? Why shouldn't we all
right.
wear gorilla masks at budget meetings? I mean, especially when you're cutting down the budget.
And in the end, of course, the big question: what about the free towels at the pool and the polar bear in the zoo? Did you deliver?
No.
Oh man.
So still, you're all alone, and so peaceful until you fall in.
Mayor John Gnarr's memoir is called How I Became the Mayor of a Large City in Iceland and Changed the World. Charles Monroe Kane talked with him.